हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति 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 जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसदि गौर भक्त वृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Since the Lord is the absolute reality, the material world cannot be false. It is just an inferior energy of the Supreme Lord. The inferiority does not imply falsity. What is false is not the Lord's energy, but the perverted way we perceive her. Conditioned soul takes Maya to be without any connection with Krishna. And this false conclusion is called an illusion. Everything we see is Krishna only. But when we see Krishna and do not recognize him, this is illusion and ignorance. The illusion, thus, is the Purusha Bhav, the conviction that I am the controller and enjoyer, Ishwaroham Aham Bhogi, Bhagavad Gita 16:14. So this is very, very important, Krishna, is that this element of illusion, what is actual illusion, what is Maya? Maya is not the material energy like that. That's generally what we do, describe it, but it's coming means it's our perception of this material energy. So because we God has created everything, so that means God is everywhere. So looking at everything and not seeing God, that's the illusion, right? So that's why Krishna is saying is whatever there is, you have to see it in connection with me. Then there's no illusion. Right? So the Bhagavatam second in the Chaturshloki is making this point, is that everything is coming from God, everything's connected to God. So seeing everything in connection with God, that is the proper consciousness. Right? That's what we're trying to do. And not seeing that, that's Maya. Right? It's that simple. Right? So if we're dealing with things and are not judging them and counting them in connection with Krishna, that's Maya. Right? That's the problem. So we may say we're using it for Krishna, so that's good. You are connecting it in one way, but we're not actually seeing the person behind it. Or we're not seeing his energies at work. We're just seeing the dead matter that we give a value to and that we're connecting to Krishna. So that's good. It's been connected. But what is being pointed out here, but we still have the illusory element is there. Our consciousness still has an illusory covering. Right? Though it's being connected. Does this make some sense? Right? Because we're not actually seeing that Krishna is what's making everything work. Right? Everything we see is Krishna only. When we see Krishna and do not recognize him, this is illusion and ignorance. Right? Like sometimes you hear devotees that talk about when they come to the temple the first time, either themselves or they bring friends or relatives, and they would come and they'd sit in the temple room, looking at the deities. And they comment about the, nice flower arrangements. They can't see the deity. All they see is the flowers, right? And I said, oh, yeah, it's a very nice arrangements. You know, why do you do that? You know, like that kind of a thing. So this is illusion and ignorance. Right? So this is very, very important, right? Because we've been discussing this whole point of in devotional service, that the activities and knowledge are supportive of devotional element. It means the devotional limbs of bhakti, but they are not bhakti itself. Right? Does that make sense? So in the same way is that you're seeing something, you're not connecting that thing, what you're seeing, with Krishna, but you're somehow or another engaging that thing that you don't see in connection with Krishna to Krishna. Still, there's a benefit, there's a connection, but still there's some illusion on that. Right? And that we will maintain those attachments and all those things. So the idea is how to be more perceptive that we don't make that mistake. Right? So that's the whole idea, is where Krishna is saying is, directly and indirectly, you have to be able to see me in everything. Right? So this indirect can mean is that you're dealing with the indirect and seeing Krishna in it, or it can be that you don't see Krishna in it, but you are connecting it to Krishna. So therefore, indirectly, it's become, connected. Does this make some sense? Like that. Subtle points on application. So we're trying to get this kind of intelligence where we can discriminate, and we can therefore understand the quality of the service being rendered. Right? Because the idea is, if you want pure, unalloyed devotional service, that means there can't be anything that is mixed with it, like that. Because if there's a mix, then it's not unalloyed. Right? There'll be something else there, something of our own personal desire, so that sacrifice is not complete, that commitment to the relationship for the other's satisfaction is not complete. Right? Because only in that state, then we will be completely satisfied. Right? So the idea is that Krishna has entered everything. He is everything. He's expanded as everything. But Krishna makes the point that still he as a person is separate from that. Right? So it's not that that is Krishna as a person. No, it's him because it's his energies. Right? So not being able to see the working of Krishna's energies in everything, that's illusion. Right? At the same time, we don't mistake Krishna as, the baby, like you see sometimes, baby is God, like that. No, is that potency of child, of the child, of, that of being a child is there in that living entity when you're small, right? Because it doesn't matter which country you're from, what social status, anything, is that when someone's a baby, they always act the same, right? And they invoke the same kind of emotions. Why? Because they have that potency of babiness in them. Right? And so that invokes from the adults the same kind of parental affection. Does that make sense? So it's Krishna's potencies that are working here, not something else. It's not that lump of flesh is invoking that. No, it's because Krishna's potency is in there. Therefore it invokes. But we think it's the baby that we're attracted to. But actually, it's Krishna's potency in the baby that we're attracted to. Does that make sense? So, that's the whole idea. When that is understood, then you can deal properly. But to do that means it needs some refined intelligence, because you're having to deal with many things at once. Right? That's the advantage of the Chintabhedaveda Tattva, is you can deal with many seemingly contradictory elements at once. Right, it's what you're attracted to is actually Krishna, but the point is that the person that is there that you're attracted to is not Krishna. Right, it's a baby. It means it's a living entity who thinks I'm a baby. Right, and because of us, we're thinking this is also a baby. But the point is that the soul in the baby's body and the soul in the adult's body is still the same soul. Right? But because they identify that way, they behave like that, because we identify that way, we deal like that. Does that make sense? So actually it's just the Lord's energies that are interacting with themselves. And we think we're the doer, so therefore we become part of it. Right? Or in this case, even we think we're the field. Right? There's the kshetra, the field, and the kshetra-gya, the observer of the field. So as long as we think we're the field, we're in illusion, we're in maya. Right? As soon as we understand we're not the field, we're an observer of the field, that's when then you can see Krishna in it, see yourself in it, see the other living entities, see the material energy. Right? So we can see all those things happening at once. Right? Does that make sense? So then one's not an illusion. then seeing like that, what are you going to do? Because seeing like that's not enough. Because otherwise the jnanis, they sit around and see like this, but they do nothing. So then that's also then a problem. Right? Because what we're dealing with here in this case is Krishna's potency as a baby, right? And the position of an adult or someone who would take care of that baby. Right? So since it's Krishna's energy, both are Krishna's energies, and it's something we like to take part in, then we have to take part in that, but not as we're the doer, but this is activity. It means we should be doing the proper activity that's appropriate for these two energies coming together. Does that make sense? So when Krishna's baby potency and Krishna's adult potency come together at the same place, how should we be involved in that relationship? Does that make sense? It's not you just sit by. You put the pot there, the pot is there, and the cauliflower is in the pot. And then we just sit there and observe the energies. What's going to happen? Right? Something's going to get burnt. Right? So the whole idea is that, so the appropriate thing is we should be there dealing with that vegetable in the pot, what is appropriate, the kind of pot, the kind of fire, the kind of preparation you're making, like that. Then we're taking part in that. So we actually understand it's Krishna's energies that are working. But the fun part about it, Krishna takes pleasure in giving us the credit for it. So when we want the credit, we don't get, you get the credit, but you know, we get also all the bad stuff with it. So when it's not, we don't want the credit, then it actually, the credit comes in a good fashion. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. Fine points, but this is what we're dealing with here, because this is Upanishad. So you're dealing with this level of understanding how Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan are all working together at the same time. That they're all manifested the same. Means it's the energies, that is Brahman. So everything is Brahman. Same time as there's action and interaction going on. So that's Paramatma. Right? He's sanctioning, you know, you want to act in this way, he's sanctioning. Someone else wants to act, he's sanctioning. So all what's going on that you see happening, that's Paramatma. But the potencies of what's there, that's Brahman. Right? It's Krishna's qualities. You know, the reflected qualities of Brahman then is there. Right? And so that's what we call the universal form. Right? But at the same time, Krishna still is a person who we can have a relationship with. And so what are you going to relate to him through? How? A relationship means it's based on some medium of interaction, medium of communication. So that medium of communication is the duties that you perform in which you are seeing all these different elements of Krishna's potencies, you know, as Brahman and Paramatma at work. And I'm dealing with that properly according to the scriptures to please Krishna as a person, as Bhagavan. Does this make any sense? Right. Is that too many things pulled together at once?
No.
No. Okay. So this is you know, a glimpse of what's going. So this is actually what we're dealing with, right? But because generally we don't look in this fashion, we just look at it as it's this or it's that. You know, here's this part type of material energy. Here's that. But the point is why it's given that name. Is because it does a particular activity, and where does dead matter get action? Right? There is no activity in dead matter. So that means the Lord's potencies have to be making it work. So the quality of what you call, like this here, we have the pillar. Why is it a pillar? Because it holds up the roof. That's what it does. So that potency that can hold up the roof, that's Krishna. It's made out of dead matter, earth, water, fire, air, ether, whatever is in the bricks and cement. Right? But why it can do that is because Krishna's potency is there. So it's performing an action. So that's why it's named. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole idea, is that there's nothing here that's not connected to Krishna. So not being able to see it connected to Krishna, that's illusion. That's Maya, yes.
So take the pillar as an example. When it's holding a building, it's Krishna. And let's say somebody did a poor job and designed a poor pillar, and now the whole building collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
So would you consider the pillar still Krishna?
The point is that you want to carry something. Let's say you want to carry some water. So you get a bucket, okay. Right? If I get a colander, if I put water in it, it's not going to carry it. So the point is that for every potency to manifest, there's a natural form that it takes, right? Because the whole idea is God's made his creation. He's expanded his creation. The whole idea is therefore he interacts with that creation. So that relationship between God and the creation, it has natural forms depending on what you're expressing, right? You know, it's just like parental affection works very nicely if there's a small child, right? If it's, you know, you got a, you know, how you say, you know, your child's 40 years old, you know, and still living at home, and then to go there and, you know, speak like that, it won't work quite right, you know? Everyone will let it go by, you know, okay, so, you know, crazy old lady, okay, you know, like that. But it'll be look strange. But if it's small, everyone will go, this is a nice, you know, in other words, the medium is proper, right? You know, say you have a special guest coming, you're picking them up at the airport like that, VIP, so you get a limousine, right? You don't show up in, you know, some little dinky car, you know? So everything has its medium. So the point is that's the point what Krishna's saying about performance of duties. The proper performance of duties then makes it that the medium that you're using is appropriate for the potencies that you want to be carried. Like that. Does that make sense? So, therefore, the pillar, even though it had the potential to take on the full qualities of a pillar due to either bad ingredients or workmanship or both, it didn't have the quality to actually carry that much potency is required. So therefore it falls apart.
So can I say that the bad pillar is now, it has the potency of teaching people how not to design a bad pillar like that?
You can. And anyway, all these things are going on. That's something that definitely one should learn from the bad pillar. But and not to waste energy, time, all these different things.
We have to learn from something, so by as well, yeah. That bad pill.
Yeah. Thank you. So does this make sense? So that's why Krishna is recommending certain kinds of activities to be performed, certain duties, because they actually carry, they're able to carry the maximum of the potency that they're supposed to carry. Does that make sense? You know, just like for a child, the mom is available. The mom is there, right? When it is times when the child's at home, they can interact with the mom. You consider that a full manifestation, right? But if the kid gets home from school and the mom has left a note on the table saying, you know, dinner's in the oven, you just have to push the button because I'm at the spa with my friends, it doesn't exactly manifest. It's not the medium for manifesting that real motherly affection between the mother and child. So one can say, no, it's what I want to do and it's me and all these different things. Yes, but understand that the potency of parental affection that you also want to taste is reduced. Because it's not a matter of sentiment. You can't just say, I want it to happen and it happens. You have to actually do it. You can't say, yes, I want a college degree and then just sit there at the house and do nothing. The sentiment won't get it. You have to go to school, learn. You know, you want money, you go out, you have your occupation, and the results from that, you get something, right? You want to eat, you have to sit down and put the food in your mouth. So everything's based on work. So this idea is just, I want it to happen, therefore it should. It doesn't mean it will. And also, whimsically attributing the potency to carry something that actually can't carry it. You know, that also is not there. Like you have a picnic basket. That carries nice things to go out and have a picnic, right? But it won't carry, you know, your bath water. You could have all the sentiment you want, but I want it to. Why are you discriminating against the basket? It's also so nice, you know. Why is you're saying only the bucket can carry the water? Why you're saying that the basket can't carry the water? It doesn't matter. You can go on and on like that. You can get thousands of people to sign petitions. They can get out there with placards. They can have a march, you know, like that. But still, it won't hold water. Okay. Does that make sense? Yes.
In this purport to 221, Prabhupada talks about how everything has its proper utility. But that depends on the utility of a thing rests person of knowledge. You have to know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the potency of Krishna's too.
Yes, yes, yes.
You can speak about that. That's another...
The knowledge potency.
Yeah.
Okay. It means it goes together. See, generally is we never get to that point because no one accepts this point. See, because actual action means it's a combination of knowledge and skill. Like that. In Upanishads it's called manana. Manana means that you've heard something, that's Shravana. Then manana means you contemplate it and understand it and then apply that knowledge practically. And by that continual contemplation and practice, because through practice then you get more understanding. And through that more understanding your practice increases. So by doing that then you develop what's called good habit. And then from that good habit you develop, you know, actual your values. You know, when you see the result is coming and everything, then you value that. And so it actually changes your life. So then the knowledge now has actually become, you know, life-changing. So that's the goal of it, right? Then it's proper. Then you take that and give that to others. Right? So generally, the difficulty is we're generally dealing with just shravana, just getting people to comfortably hear without any doubts or misgivings. Because if the doubts are misgivings, then you have to deal with that until those are cleared. Then only they will be, enthusiastic to apply that knowledge. So that would be the second step. Though it should be done, but much of the time when it comes to the culture and all that, there's generally a doubt that it actually has any purpose or value or need. You know, what do we need it for? But that's actually a lack of knowledge that they don't understand is that all action needs a medium. You know, anything. You're speaking, you know, anything. Whatever it is you want to interact with another entity, there must be a medium for that. Like that. You know, that's what it means. It's like you have the subject and object. Why is one the subject and object? What connects it? It's the verb. And the verb's the action. And the verb includes the mood. Right? So the mood, the action itself, the results that you can get from that action, that's what connects it. So unfortunately, due to ignorance, we think somehow or another the ignorance is bliss. So we've already taken the ignorance, connected it, that bliss is the prayojana, and then doing nothing, we're going to get something. But without the abhideya, there is no prayojana. So this ignorance has created this false illusion, I will do nothing, I'll get everything. But it's only through action that anything is gained. Like that. Because the point is Krishna likes relationships to be dynamic. You know, he doesn't come up with ideas, you know, that just through telepathy will interact or through meditation everything will happen. He likes direct interaction. That gives the greatest taste. So therefore, everything in the cosmic creation is based on this principle. You know, it's like that. Because you have him as eternity, as the basis of everything. So he is the Sambandha. You have Srimati Radharani as the pleasure aspect of the creation. And how do you connect Sambandha and Prayojana? It's through Abhideya. Therefore, pastimes. We always hear about Krishna's pastimes. Right? That's what's important, is the pastime. So name, form, quality, pastimes. Right? And this past tense is based on qualities. You have qualities, there is action. Right? And that quality has a natural form. Right? So we have the name, we have the knowledge of the thing, then there's the form of it. That being applied, these qualities can be expressed, that can be used in interaction. So it's natural. We talk about it every day, but we don't apply it into our practical life. We have to go to, you know, the self-help section, you know, in the bookstore to find that. But somehow or another, Krishna's, you know, at least in this Upanishad, they're under the impression that Krishna's complete, everything coming from is complete. So therefore, his philosophy is complete, that it applies in your life in all times, all places, all circumstance. We may believe it or not, but, you know, that's unfortunately what the Upanishad is saying. You know, that's why we're sitting here, is to understand this principle. So the knowledge then means is that you've understood this and accepted it. Because what we're discussing actually is the knowledge part. Then that will be applied through some skill. Right? That skill, that's what's known as prescribed duties. Right? What is your, according to your position, your natural, activities that would be appropriate for your position, your relationships that you have, you know, personally, you know, on the family level, the social level, on the spiritual level, you know, whatever it is in the relationship according to Varn Ashram, economics, sense gratification, getting yourself out of the material energy and your relationship with Krishna. Right? So that is your duties. That's what's austerity. Right? Then that being properly performed with knowledge. So Krishna says, perform your duties with knowledge. They go together. But that's not enough. It has to be done for Krishna and remembering Krishna. It means remember, you're doing it for Krishna, it's for Krishna, but you may not be thinking of him as a person, because he says, thinking of me as a person. Because otherwise it's for Krishna. But Krishna is what? As Bhagavan? Or just as, you know, okay, he's God, so, you know, we're just doing this because it's good, it's nice, it's proper, it's religious, it'll get me out of the material world. You know, like that. It's spiritual. No, Krishna as a person. So that's why he splits that. Otherwise, he could say, just do it for me. No, he says, do it for me as a person, remembering me. Right? Does that make sense? So that combination. So the combination of knowledge and action, right? Perform your duties with knowledge. Right? And then it's being done for Krishna, remembering Krishna. And then what's going to connect those two? What's the practical point? Right? Because you're performing the activity with knowledge, and then it's supposed to be for Krishna. So what actually makes it for Krishna? What do we call that? Devotion. That devotion is there. But okay, so on the one side it would be the devotion, but what is the form of it that we do that through? Because we're performing an action. Guru Sadhana Shastra. Sadhana Bhakti, you're getting close. Naishkarmya. Okay? Means, so he says, perform the duty with knowledge without attachment. Right? So then that's what brings it across. Now, if it's not for attachment, it's for someone else. So who's that someone else? It should be Krishna. And Krishna in what form? Brahman Paramatma? No, Bhagavan. Right? So it's complete. So the Gita is saying this over and over and over again. We see here the Upanishad is saying the same thing. So this is what the Shastras are saying to us. Right? Does this make sense? Because without the knowledge, then you're not going to see Krishna in it. Without the knowledge, you're not going to perform the skill properly. Without the knowledge, unless it's practiced, the attitude may not be right. Right? So much of the time it's through knowledge, through intelligence, that we bring the mind into you know, a proper attitude. With practice, then it comes naturally on its own. So that's considered, as we advance, that will be that the habit, good habit, will come. Right? Is that?
There is some trouble here. And so performing your duty with knowledge, and it is for Krishna. Mm-hmm. I got that. The problem I'm having trouble is, because I'm not so fully comprehended accepting Krishna yet.
Krishna is just the name we use for God.
I understand. So I substitute that with source energy.
Source energy, yes. But the point is that the source energy, as we see, is working in a very intelligent way. So intelligence means qualities. Qualities means there must be a person there.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
That's part I could
But otherwise, how does it work? Your house, if I go to your house is very tidy and orderly, is very intelligently placed things and things to do things. Why is that there?
Because somebody did it.
Yes. So that's why is this, why is it for the next, you know, 1,000 years, I can make an ephemeris exactly what time the sun will rise and what it will set? Exact. Why? Because somebody made it. It didn't happen by chance that way.
Wow.
You understand? So that's what we see. We're dealing with that. That's why I mentioned all three of them. God has three forms.
Okay.
Brahman means as the source energy.
Okay.
Then Paramatma means how he comes and he directs that according to the will, I mean the desire of the living entities. It means the energy is there, but it has to happen because we're not necessarily the ones that make it happen.
Explain a bit more, give some example.
It's just like you want something to happen.
Okay.
Okay. We can go out and do it, it may or may not happen. So it has to actually have God's sanction to happen. Like that. So that form of God who sanctions or doesn't sanction what you want to do, that's what we call Paramatma, the Lord in the heart.
When you say sanction, that means, define sanction for me.
Sanction means, let's say, man proposes, God disposes.
Okay.
It means you want to, let's say, you know, do well in your exam, but it doesn't always work the way you want. So that it worked the way you want, that means it was sanctioned. Means it was given, it was okayed. It was approved.
Approved.
Yeah, approved. And then if it wasn't approved, something else came up, you sat down to there, you know, some kid didn't want to take the test, pulled the fire alarm, everyone has to leave the building, you know, so it didn't happen. You know, so it wasn't sanctioned. It wasn't approved.
Meant to be.
Yeah. So somehow or another is that. So everything in our life is like that. You know, so it's a problem. You know, we want to scratch our head, but we can't because we're standing there, you know, looking very formal, you know, at our friend's wedding as, you know, the best man. So we can't sit there and look stupid and scratch our head. So we're sitting there, you know, just, you know, trying to grin and bear it. So there's so many things that's not sanctioned, you know, so it doesn't happen, you know, okay?
So we got source energy.
Yes.
And then the sanction part.
Yeah. Then we have God as the original person who is the source of all these things.
Then how do we get into that part?
That's the part where it kind of leaves our limited intelligence. See, because the thing is we're limited, God's unlimited. So this is the part where a little bit, means up to this point, intelligence, we can describe it.
So I can say that, like, I'm the fish swimming in the pond, mm-hmm. but God is walking on the sidewalk.
Let's say God's the one that made the pond and put the fish there.
I got that part, but I'm saying that I cannot see because I'm in the water.
Yeah, and that's all.
It's
yeah,
not it's beyond my knowledge and beyond my intelligence
and
beyond my vibration.
Yeah, because he's unlimited and we're not. So we can only understand a portion of God's creation. You know, like now we'll look at this here, or we can go over there and look at that over there.
Sort of like the blind man touching the elephant.
Yes. Like that. But means, yeah, it's like that. Like that. So that's the point. So that's why Krishna brings this out, is because the real relationship's not with the energy or not with the sanction, it's with the person themselves. Okay? Like that.
Thank you.
Like that. Okay. Yes?
How is it true that my child is Krishna's child, my wife is Krishna's wife? How can I appreciate that?
How can you appreciate your child, Krishna's child, and what? How do you want to appreciate it?
Because, yeah.
We got to talk about this here.
So you deal with something according to the knowledge that this belongs to God, and therefore...
Yes, because otherwise, if it's your wife, then you might want to deal any way you like. But if it's, but if the principle of wife belongs to God, and this girl belongs to God, because that's what it says in the wedding, that this girl belongs to Vishnu. So that means you have to deal with this girl according to how Vishnu says she should be dealt with, not how you want to deal with her. You know what I'm saying? Like that. In other words, if you bring your desire in line with how God sees that it should be, applied, right? Then there's no problem. Right? Because you have a religious mentality that you will do things according to God's direction. So therefore, any interaction, therefore, with that girl will work properly. There won't be any difficulty. Right? Because one is understanding that, you know, Krishna created girls, you didn't. So that means then how you deal with them, then also the person that created says how you're supposed to work with it. Right? The manufacturer says how you work with it. And if you work with it, then you'll get the results you're looking for. You don't work with it that way, it will break. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. They have a nature. Right? Husband has a nature. So he's supposed to act in a particular way with the woman, and therefore then the relationship that you're looking for will be expressed and experienced. And if you don't, it won't. So this is on the intellectual platform, on the Brahman platform. This is how it is. This is the rules, right? And then this is given, directed, and then by Krishna's grace it happens. But still, even that you're doing that, still you have to do that to please Krishna, because it's his family, it's his rules how to deal with the family. So because you're only dealing with the family because your inherent conditioning to want to deal in that way. So instead of just dealing and thinking it's yours, you're not in illusion, you know that it's Krishna's. But it's your quota. Since you want this, Krishna's giving you this family as your quota of how to interact, of relationships, your quota of familial relationships, right? So therefore you'll follow his rules, right? To do it for him as a person. At the same time as those family members are also individuals who are agreeing, also following the same process, and they're agreeing to take part in this also. Therefore, we have a relationship with them also, as an individual soul, is that they're agreeing to take part in this also. But it's not an eternal, the relationship can be eternal, but that particular form is not. You know, now one is husband and wife, doesn't mean it's eternally is that way. But you're agreeing to take the parts, just like you're doing a drama. You know, everybody has their part, but next time you do a drama, the parts change. But still, you're all actors working together, so you have a relationship as an actor. You don't have a relationship as, you know, you're King Lear, and, you know, he's, Snoop Dogg or something. So, you know, that changes from drama to drama. Does that make sense? So, the whole idea is that, but you're actors. And so that's constant. And how do you act? According to how the director says it should, according to the script. You know?
Why would Krishna as a person be pleased with our drama?
Why would he be pleased with our drama? You don't like dramas? Right? We wouldn't pay money to see a good drama? Yeah, so that's the whole point. Everybody likes a good drama.
Especially Krishna.
I mean, that's all he does. He just is performing drama. Because, see, there's technically nothing to do. There's just God and his creation. So everything's there, it's maintained. But for that rasa, he interacts. So that's what's happening. So it's Krishna's drama. We take it as this is so real and so important. But actually, still, it's just a drama. So if we play our part well, then our relationship with all the other members of the cast, you know, and the director works very nicely, like that. But if we don't follow the script, you know, lady comes out and goes, hey, got any spot remover? It's not going to go over. No one's going to be talking about it, you know. Does that make sense? You know, so you have to follow the script. Otherwise, no one's going to come and watch. You know, so if you want people to take part in your family interaction, then you have to be playing your part well. Otherwise, who wants to play the other roles? You know what I'm saying? So Krishna knows how those roles work, right? So the original roles are there. Those are reflected here. It's the same role. Right? Mother Yashoda taking care of Krishna, the mother here taking care of the child. It's the same role. The difference is Mother Yashoda thinks my child is Krishna, while the other one doesn't know that that's still it's Krishna's potencies and everything that's working. So Mother Yashoda, whatever she's doing, taking care of her babies in relationship to Krishna. Right? We're doing the same thing. There you're dealing with Bhagavan Krishna, here we're dealing with potencies. You know, so we're dealing with the Brahman aspect, the Paramatma aspect. But she is dealing with the Bhagavan aspect. So we deal with these Brahman and Paramatma aspects to please that same Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's what we're... Okay. So that's why all these things are there. It's so that everything will go nicely for us. It'll be a good drama. You know, but somehow or another, there's more of the idea of this... What is it? Extempo, kind of, you know, living theater, like that kind of thing, you know. You have a house and you just put up a glass wall and do whatever you want, and people are supposed to sit outside and want to watch you go and brush your teeth and stuff, you know, like that. So it's a, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of a low-end, you know, dramatic performance, right? But somehow or another, you know, today that seems to be the popular, you know, genre that people want to, drama they want to play. You know, the more classical, more, you know, romantic, emotional, full things than they don't like. They don't believe that those scripts can be performed today. You know, it's like saying, you know, Shakespeare was, you know, whatever, it's 500 years ago, so you can't perform a Shakespearean drama today. You know, basically it's that foolish. Because Krishna's eternal, so everything coming from him is eternal, so all the principles are eternal. But then they'll say, no, it doesn't work, because why? Krishna says it works, the acharyas say it works, but we said it doesn't work, and my friends also, right? And me and my friends are everybody, right? By definition, right? Does that make sense? Is that okay? So in other words, it's this combination that it has all these elements, the personal relationship with Krishna, by doing these prescribed duties, the personal relationship with the other persons we're performing that duties with, and then that knowledge by which we understand its actual position, that we're not an illusion, and we actually become freed or liberated by that understanding and action. Like that. So all these three things are going on at once. That's why Chintabheda Bheda Tattva is so useful. Because you can accommodate many contradictory elements all at one time, and they're perfectly synthesized. Does that make sense? So this is Upanishads, right? Like that. This is the knowledge it gives. It's not something dry. It talks about that element, but it's in relationship to the personal element with God and with the devotees. Right? But the skill is knowledge. Right, is knowledge and practice. That's the dry part. The part that we say is the good part is actually, that's the dry part. And the real part is the relationship with God and with the devotees. That part we don't necessarily see as real. Does that make sense? You know, it's like the, what do you call it? Squeezed sugar cane. We say that's the part that's got all the juice. Right? You know. We'll end for today. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi.
Maharaj, you
want
an announcement for the registered students?
Oh, okay, please.
So, registered students and those who are interested in being registered, please stay behind. We'll have other meetings about 10, 15 minutes to go. SOs, the USO, which is coming up, and just a in 10, 15 minutes later.
Basically, I think any but authority wise, can plug in the USB.